Okay, so we're all the way on the bottom of Nun Vav and Beis. Today's daf is a short one. We'll see how long it takes. And the Gemara tells us two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Barishona at first, Tayu Nosin Pea Lelefes Ule Karov. At the beginning, they would take Pea. We spoke of yesterday. Pea was when the farmer would leave over a corner of the field, leave it over for the Aniyim. And we saw in Tosus, the bottom Tosus says that Rabbeinu Tam thinks only things that only the olives, grapes, and grains are subject to pay a midiraisa. Others might argue. When it comes to vegetables, though, vegetables are not subject to pay. So here, in the beginning, they said they used to take leave-over pay of a lefes, which and a karov, which is what they have in English, what these things mean, what type of vegetables?
Turnips and cabbage.
All right, turnips and cabbage. So these things that first they used to leave over a corner of the field. Rabbi Yossi Omer af lekaflot. They would even leave that over. What's kaflot?
Leek.
Leek, okay. So they would even leave that over for peah. B'tani idach, he had a different price that says, hayunosin peah lelefes lekaflot. They would leave over those two vegetables, a turnip and a leek. And Rabbi Shimon Omer af lekarov, even a cabbage they would leave over. So different opinions of what was left over, what wasn't left over. Now, Gemara says, Neima Tlosa Tanai Havu. Maybe there are three different opinions here. So, right, if you line everything up, because the first opinion of each of these brises were different. The first opinion said Lefes and Karov. The second brise of the first opinion said Lefes and Kaflot. And the second opinions of both were all in agreement, because in the end, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon said three things are you take payah from. So it sounds like there are three different opinions here. The Gemara says, Lo. Lo tre tanu habe. There really are two different opinions. V'tana kama de Rabbi Shimon, hainu Rabbi Yossi. The first opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is the second brisa, which says you take nosin peah lelefes lekaflo, that's Rabbi Yossi. Ah, but didn't Rabbi Yossi say af lekaflo, which sounds like three different vegetables they would leave peah, not two of them? So the Gemara says v'tana kama de Rabbi Yossi, hainu Rabbi Shimon. And the first opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the first one, is the same opinion as Rabbi Shimon. Umay af akamaisa. Why does it say af? Af sounds like it's coming to include yet a third vegetable. No, it's coming to include a second one. Meaning, when the Braisa says, Rabbi Yossi says af lekaflot, he says they would take peah from the lefes and af minakaflot to the exclusion of karov. And the same thing with the Rabbi Shimon, when he says af, it means af, they would take lefes, af also karov, but not lekaflot. So it turns out you line everything up, there are only two different opinions of which vegetables were left over for peah. Says the Gemara now for the three lines from the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, Ben Bohayin, who was the person's name, Nasan Peoliyerek, he left over a corner of the field of vegetables. Uva Aviv, his father came along, Umatzon La'anim, Shayutunim Yerek, and he saw Anim were collecting the vegetables because Peah was left for the vegetables, but even though you weren't supposed to leave for Yerek. So, Al Pesach Hagina, the Aniyim were standing on the gates of the field and the garden collecting all the vegetables. Amar Lahem, the father, Bohayin, says to the Aniyim, Bini Hishlichu, or he says to his, I think he's referring to the Aniyim. He says, Bini Hishlichu Ba'alechem, get rid of them, throw them down, leave over the vegetables, because you have no rights to the vegetables. Vani Nosin Lachem Kaflaim B'Me'usar, I'm going to take Maiser, because the halacha was, the vegetables, that there's no chiv to take Peah. Instead, there's a chiv to take meiser. Again, things that have to do peah, have to leave peah, is pater from meiser. So he says vegetables are exempt from peah, but they are chayv in meiser, midirabanan. You have to take meiser on yerek. So he says to them, leave it aside, put it back, and I'm going to give you double the amount in meiser. I'm going to take meiser from all the vegetables, and I'll give you twice the amount of what you're collecting now in terms of meiser money. So, lo mipnesha eini tzara. Not because I'm stingy, I don't want to give money to Aniyim, Chas V'Shalom, I want to help you guys out. El b'bnei she'amru chacham, I can't let you take it because the chacham said, Ein nosin peah liyarek. The halach is, the chacham said, you do not leave over a corner of the field for vegetables. So, lama le l'meimra lehu, why do you have to say all this to them that because I'm not ein yitzar, because I'm not stingy, what was the purpose for this? Lo m'pnei she'ein yitzar, why did he say this? Ki heichi de lo limrei dechu yukam me'ad chilem. So Rashi says, "Delo limi." Further down the Gemara, down the page, "Delo nimri dechuy mead chilan, lo yitain lanu klum." So they're not going to say that. Neim don't say, "Oh, he's giving us nothing." The malalit alzu yitain pishnaim He thinks the Anim are saying, he's just trying to blow him off and I don't want to give you anything. He said, no, I'm not blowing you off because I'm stingy. I'm not stingy. I want to give you money, but I can't go against the Chachamim. And if you look back to a couple of Rashi's earlier, it just shows you the makor for this, that Peah is potter from Meiser. Look at Rashi, Ein Nosen Peah Lierek. Rashi writes, Mishum de mafko le mi Meiser, because by giving vegetables, by leaving Peah of vegetables, you're exempting it from the Chiv Meiser to take. The Pasuk says, Uvaha Levi ki ein lo chelik v'nachlim chal, the Pasuk says in Shoftim, that the Levi comes along, the Levi has no chelik, has no nachla, he has no portion of the land, Levi has nothing. All the Shvatim had parts of the Eretz Yisrael, Levi had nothing except Ari Mikla. And it's interesting discussion whether Ari Mikla is considered a chelik and nachla at all, but Pashas is, the Pasuk says they have no chelik. Now, mish ein lo nachla imcha chay la'aser. So anybody who has no nachla, so you have to take meiser. Yotza peah sheish lo nachla imcha dehefker ninu. So anything that a levi has no chelik in, meaning if I own the land, I'm a levi, but let's say a farmer owns the land, so I, the levi, have no chelik in that land, so there you have to take meiser and give to the levi. But something that a levi does have a chelik in, which is something that's hefker, that he's mafker the field, that anybody has rights to it, even a levi has rights to it, that is exempt from Meiser. The Chain B'Shvias, also he says in Shvias, the Hefker Potter Meiser. So too, the fruit of Shvias, you're exempt from taking Meiser during that year. That all the Avyonim, all the Anim, the people who are very impoverished, are able to take the fruit of the Shvias because it's Hefker. Just like a wild animal is allowed to take any fruits in the field without having to take Meiser, of course. Af Avyonim Pturim and Meiser, so too, any poor person who takes the food from the field is exempt from Meiser. Okay, says the Gemara now. Tanu Rabbanan, Barishona, at the beginning, Hayumanichin Oros Kachim Belishchas Beis HaPereva. So, in the beginning, they would take all the skins, Rashi says, Oros Kachim, which skins are these referring to? Or Ola, V'chatos, V'ashamos, V'karbanos Tzibur. Or all those types of karbanos, the skins, the hide from the animal, Shemishchalkin Oros Kachim, Kachim, the Kohanim, the mitzvah, there's a chiv to divide them up amongst the Kohanim, Kidechsev, Or HaOla, Asher Hikriv, the skin of the carbon, v'yalfinu mizvachim me'ola kol oros kachay kachim. So you learn Ola is really the source. When it comes to Ola, you're supposed to give the skins to the Kohanim, and we learn from Ola to all the other carbonos. Uli Erev, the Gemara says, what would they do? They leave it in the Lishchas Beis HaParva. Beis HaParva was a particular Lishcha, one of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Beis HaParva. I don't remember exactly why. The Gemara Numa talks about it. La'erev, the evening, hayu mechalkin osan la'anshe beis av. So that evening, they would divide all the skins among the Kohanim. So what's a beis av? Rashi explains, la'erev, shekol yom hayu mechalkin osan la'anshe beis av she'avdu hayom. The way it works, there are 24 mishmaros, 24 posts of Kohanim. It was divided up, I think from the times of David HaMelech already, it was divided up. Maybe Shlomo HaMelech makes more sense. I think times of Shlomo, there are different families. And there are 24 groups of families that work the avodah. They have 2 weeks a year to work. 24 times 2 is 48 around. The regalim were left out because everybody had the rights to work. So 24 mishmaros throughout the year. Now, during the week of your family, that week was divided up. This person worked on a Sunday, and then a Monday, then a Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and so on and so forth. So that Beis Av, the mishmar was referred to the entire week. Who had that week? The Beis Av was referred to the particular day. So whoever was the Beis Av that day, so says Rashi, La'anshe Beis Av she'avdu hayom, that person, that family, that group that worked that day, she'a mishmar hayu chalak l'shisha, it was divided among 6 days. Whatever reached, whatever came that day, all the skins collected for that day, whether it was a lot, whether it was a little, who knows, though, that base av was allowed to take the skins. Even though Tuesday, let's say, might have more skins than what was brought on Monday, it doesn't make a difference. Your day, you get whatever is your day, whether it's a lot of skins, whether it's very little skins. So that's what was the normal practice in the base of Mikdash. However, Gemara says, Vahyu Bali Zros, the very strong, Rashi says, Shahayu Bakonim Chazakim Mechaverim, very strong, aggressive Kohanim, Notlin Oso Bazar. They would take the skins against the will of other people. They would fight over it, and the stronger people would get more than anybody else. So what was the luck? What did they do? Hiskinu Shehu Mechalkin Osom Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. You know what they said to do? Let's not divide it up every night. Every Friday, they'll collect everything up. Why every Friday? What will that help? The Asin Kul Mishmaros V'Shaklin Bahadade. This way, the entire Mishmar, the entire week of Kohanim, many more people would be there. They would take it together, and by more people being there, it would help prevent all the bigger, more aggressive Kohanim from taking it out. Meaning, if one one aggressive Kohen, one strong Kohen versus 10 on every night is much harder to stop him. But let's say there are 70 or 80 or 90, however many there were, it's much harder for a Baal Zerah to take these skins against everybody else's will. So that was the Eitzah they decided to do. However, the Gemara said, Vadain, that wasn't enough. Vadain, still, Hayu Gedolei Kahuna, no Lunaso Bezerah. Rashi says, who are Gedolei Kahuna? Sarim HaShebahem, the ministers, the ones who are really, really powerful, they still didn't mind the fact that the entire Mishnah was there collecting on Friday. They said still, I'm a Sar, I'm a Choshe person, get out of the way, I'm going to take my food, my skin rather. So they said that wasn't enough, so what do they do? Omdu Balam, the Balam stood. So it's Machlok is what exactly who the Balam refers to. Simply reading, the Balam meant the owner of the animal. However, Rashi says Balam means Omdu Balam. Kol Kohane Mishmaros Yachad Vigdishim Lebedekabais. All the Kohanim, they were now the Balam of the skins. It wasn't the Bal of the animal, they had the Balas of the skins. So they stood up. Vigdishim Leshemayim, they said all this Hekdesh was going to go to Shemayim. No one's allowed to have any rights to it. Now the Rishonim and some of the Achronim discuss how do they have the rights to do this. You cannot be makdish something that's not Rishuso yet. If you've never had any Rishus yet to do it, to own the skin, I can't be makdish something that's not mine, only if I own it. But if nobody owned the skin, how do they have the right to be makdish it? So there are two main answers that were given. One is that they all appointed one Kohen, and one Kohen was Zocher for everybody else, and then he was Makdish it on behalf of everybody else. The second one is there's a halacha, Lev Basin Masna Alem. The Gemara in Zvachim talks about this concept that Basin is able to make such a Tanai, whereby they are able to be Makdish it prior to coming to the Rishus of the Kohen. However they got around this problem, they were Makdish the skin, the Shemaim, and nobody had any rights to it. So Amru, they said, Lo hayu yomim muatim, there were only a few days, ad shechifu asaheichal kulo b'tabalo shazav. So all this money now, all the skins from every single day were now hektish, and now you'd have to then be poda the hektish onto money, and you had a lot of excess money to use, so it wasn't too long until the whole heichal was covered in beautiful gold tablets, shehein ama al ama, that size, one ama by one ama, ka'ove dinar, like the thickness of a dinar zav. Uleregel hayu mekaflen oson, manichen oson agavi mala, they would, pile them up and show them outside Bahar Bias. Kidesha Yu Oli Regalim Rowan Shemalachasam now Avain Bahem Dalam. So this way, all the Oli Regalim, people coming, flocking to the Beis Hamikdash on the three Regalim, would see the beautiful gold tablets. They would see, oh, there's no poverty here in Beis Hamikdash. It's a very beautiful place, and that's what they did with all this money from the skins. Okay, says the Gemara now. Tana. Abba Shalom, Er Karos Shal Sikma Hayubricha. There were these beams, these trees, these sagamore trees that were in Yericho, the Hayubali Zeros, Notlinosan Bezoa. And again, these aggressive, powerful Kohanim would take them against people's will. Amdu Bailam Vikdishim, so Lishman, the owners of these trees said, I'm making them Hekdesh, and now nobody could take them away from me anymore. So Aleyam Valkyotzi Bahem. Amr Abba Shal ben Batnis Mishum Abba Yosef ben Achanin Oili mi base Baitis Oili mi Alasan. So I'm going to need some help here in this. So they said, woe to me on Baitis, the first Y line down in Rashi, Baitis Kohen Gadahaya. The Chain Kul and all the ones we're about to list, Hayula and Avadim Chamson Mechovtin Asam. These very powerful, at least Kohen who had Avadim, who were very Chamson, is something the Gemara tells us, is a person who steals. Chamas, that's in times of the Mabul, somebody who steals. So these Kohen Gadolim had these Avadim who would steal from the Am. So he said, again, Oili mi beis Baitis, so woe to me from the house of Baitis who would have these Avadim who would steal, Oili me'alasan. How do they define me'alasan there?
Sticks, that mace.
Rashi says, ma'kloson, from their sticks. I guess the sticks of hitting people and taking them away. What is it saying there, sorry?
Mace.
Mace.
The mace is a medieval times it was a rod, but it had like a round ball at the end with spikes and things.
Oh,
like
I've seen, okay.
Blood-like like weapons.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. Very painful. Okay. Oili mi beis chanan, woe to me from the beis chanan also, from their house, oili mi lichishasan. Lichishasan said, yoetze ra, they would have bad advice. Oili mi beis katros, which Rashi says, shayu, no, not yet, oili mi beis katros, Oili mi kulmoson, from their writing utensils, which Rashi says, Shayu kosvin igros lera, they write evil letters, whatever that means exactly. Oili mi beis Yishmael ben Piachi, woe to me from this house, of this Kohen Gadol, oili mi agrofon, from shame Kohen, from their fists, from their strength, shame Kohanim Gadolim, ubneim gizbarim, these individuals are Kohanim Gadolim, and their children were the gizbarim, were the treasurers of the Hekdesh. V'chasneim amarachlim, and their son-in-laws were, Rashi says, Amar kula al piv nechtach kol tzarech hekdesh. Amarachlim, the mission in Shkom tells us like the different, the way it was, the treasurer, the gizbar, the hekdesh was, there was a different levels, the way it was collected, the way the money was given out. So one of the levels was an amrachel. It's brought up in Tanakh also, this word, I believe. So he wanted the, again, important people on top of the Hekdesh. Vavdei and Choftin Z'am B'makhilas. And their servants of this Kohen Gadolim would hit people with their sticks or with their maces, right? So these were what they said about these Kohen Gadolim, about their powerful houses that they had.
Sounds like Greek names.
Yes, some of them do. I don't know Greek, but they don't sound Hebrew, at least I could say that. Maybe they are Greek. Maybe you know better than I would. But there's not too much of a problem like that. The Rav Moshe was asked, first of all, there's a Rashi in Shmos that says one of the reasons why we stayed Jewish and strong in Mitzrayim, one of the three things is because we kept our names, our Jewish names. So Rav Moshe was asked once, is a person allowed to name their child a non-Jewish name? So Rav Moshe says, certainly. You look in the Gemara, you look in the Rishonim, you find a number of places where they use non-Jewish names, such as here.
We had Todus
of Columbus. Right, Todus
exactly.
Gittin says,
exactly, he quotes that Gemara as well, right. He goes to a number of Rishonim also had, their names were also very interesting non-Jewish names. So yeah, certainly one can.
And it was so mean.
What?
It was so mean, Kohanim Gedolim.
Oh, it's so mean. Oh, the you look at the Gemara in Yuma, they talk about terrible. They used to pay, they would bribe the government to get the to become the Kohen Gadol, give a lot of money to become the Kohen Gadol, even the people who weren't right to it. So Mark talks about over 400 years.
200 of them were puzzled.
Exactly. So they just came. They would
die every year.
Exactly. It was called Parhedrin, was the name of the Lishkai thing. Lishkai's Parhedrin. And why is it called Parhedrin? Because that means like a governor which overturns every so often. Every year, a new Kohen Gadol would become the Kohen Gadol because they would just bribe the government to become the Kohen Gadol. Because they wanted to do the Kodesh Kodesh, they wanted to do the Avodah, and all the other respect and kavod that comes along with it. So very, very corrupt. But there were a few of them which were very good, of course, that lasted over the course of 80 years, and one of them lasted for 40 years. But most of the time, it was very corrupt. Okay, says the Gemara, two wide lines down. Tanu Rabbanu. Arba Tzvachot Tzovcha Azara. There were the Azara, which was the area of the Beis Hamikdash. So had, there were four screamings, calling outs that it made, whatever that means. But there, you find a few places in Shas where like the Azara had some statement, it spoke. So what were they? Rishonim, the first one was, Tzu mikan bnei Eli. Leave, the children of Eli, please leave, get out of this, the Azara, we don't want you here. Shetima heichal Hashem. They contaminated the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Rashi points to Gemara and Yuma, that says, Shetimu, three lines from the bottom, Kedichsev Asher Yishkivun Esanashim. They slept with other people's wives. The Gemara says, doesn't really mean that. All it meant was that when they bring the Yoledes, after giving birth to a child, they have to bring a carbon Yoledes. And then the children of Bnei Eli would delay the bringing of the carbon Yoledes, which would take more time for their wives to go home to be with their husbands. For that reason, they were viewed as Yishkivun Esanashim.
Chofnin Pinchas.
Exactly. So then the Gemara says, that was the first one. The old Tzavcha, a second one that the Azara called out, was Sei Mikan Yisachar Ish Kfar Brak. He, this individual, Yisachar, should leave the Beis HaMikdash. Shemechavid Is Atzmo Mechal Kachay Kachim. He would show much honor to himself, but really desecrate the Kachay Shemayim. Davakarach Yodeh Bishirai. He would wrap his hand with some type of cloth, and Avod Avoda, and would do the Avoda. So what's the problem with that? Says Rashi, Karach Yodeh Bishirai, V'chatzitza Posels Bekodshim. It's a chatzitza. You can't have anything interrupting between your hand and doing the Avoda. Deba'inen, Rashi explains, Deba'inen V'lokach HaKoin She'ikach Be'atmam. The Pasuk says V'lokach. He has to take the kli with his hand, nothing in between. V'od B'zayonut. Also, it's a disgrace. What? You don't want to touch the kli, Kalim? You don't want to touch the, get involved in the Avoda? So this is a very important sugya for chatzitza. The two of the main important sugyas of chatzitza is here, the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos here. We'll say Tosfos in a second. There's a Gemara and Yuma also, which are very important, and Sukkah, which are very important for chatzitza. So it says Tosfos. Let's do the Tosfos here.
His fingers were cut off.
His fingers, ultimately, we'll see later on what happened to him. But was it Yisachar's fingers were cut off?
The one who wore the gloves. Did he wear the gloves in the Avodah? His fingers were...
Yeah, the Gemara tells us the story in the bottom here. That gets back to him. So says Tosos, Tekarach Yadebi Shirai, Perish Bekuntris, V'chatita posels b'kachim dechsev v'lokach hakoin va'inan shetei l'kicha ba'atzma shakoin. The pasuk is v'lokach hakoin. The kohen himself has to take it, not using gloves, not using any other types of coverings. Vim tomer, if you're going to tell me v'ha'gav v'lulav, lo amir nechach. We don't say this in regards to lulav. V'perek lulav ha'gazel, daf lamin zayin, gav lo linkar inish v'lulava b'sudura. A person should not carry the lulav with a sudar, with some type of handkerchief between his hand. However, Rava Amar l'kicha idei davar acher shmei l'kicha. No, it is good. A person can take the lulav idei davar acher with something interrupting between his hand and lulav. So why by lulav does Rava permit you to have a chatzitza? When it comes to kachim, he does not permit you. The Tirjri explains the halsamari be'oches halulav idei sudar kein tzavas kigon shakar halulav besudar. You create this some type of handle. V'kein tzavas kigon ve'oches besudar shasuda mesai lahachziko. You're not placing a glove on your hand to in between your hand and the lulav. You basically made a handle. Like we have those handles on the lulav. They created this handle, so you're holding on to the handle, which becomes an extension of the lulav. It's not a chatzitza, rather the handle is viewed as part of the lulav, and therefore not viewed as a chatzitza. And he goes on to bring a raya for this idea as well.
So why is that a problem? According to the second mandamer, why is that a problem?
According to the second mandamer, which
meaning, if you have a handle and it is l'kicha, it is taking, you're holding the lulav or the kachim, even though you're wearing something in between, it's still kicha, you're still taking it.
That's what Rava says, it's permitted for lulav because it's a handle.
Right.
I mean, the question is, how are you using this glove or the chatzitza? Not, I shouldn't say glove, a chatzitza. Are you using the chatzitza so you don't get dirty, so you don't touch it? Or are you using it to help, to be mesayeh in the mitzvah? So according to the Gemara in Sukkah, you're creating this handle, you wrap this handle around it, which is being mesayeh at the mitzvah, and that is considered lakicha. But here, Yisachar was using it to block his hand,
he didn't
want to
get dirty.
Exactly. That's a chatzitza. That's already, he's not trying to help the avodah, it's
right.
Trying to keep himself clean. So you discuss from here a number of interesting shilas that come up. What about, Rav Moshe was asked the following shilah, could a person wear a glove when being a shochet? When he's shechting the animal, you're allowed to wear a glove. So he says, One perspective, it might depend on whether shechita is considered a mitzvah or not. That's a machlokus, a discussion. Shechita might simply be a matir. If I want to eat meat, so then I have to shech the proper way, but I don't have to eat meat if I don't want to. Others say, no, shechita itself is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it's a rishus. So only when I do it, I'm a kind of mitzvah, but I don't have to do it. So if it's a mitzvah, it might be an issue of bizayon. So it gets into discussion. Lemaisi says if you use a glove, which he thinks a thin glove, which will not get involved in the way the shechita is done properly, you can use it. A thicker glove, he thinks, is going to be problematic. It might get in the way of just practically doing a proper shechita. So he does permit it using a thin glove. He says, however, when checking the lungs and the various trefos, you have to take your gloves off because you cannot feel properly with your fingers if they're covered. So therefore, for the checking, you need to take off your gloves. You do find other places. The reason why he says this is because only in regards to kachim is there a problem to wear chatzitza because there's an inyan to get dirty. You're supposed to get dirty. The Gemara talks about, Gemara in Yuma also, that you're supposed, Gemara in Zvachim, that the legs of the kohen are supposed to be like knee deep in the blood. It was like flowing in blood and everything. That was like part of the kiyum of the kachim. It's a beautiful thing, apparently.
It's also a thing in Pesachim whereby Erev Pesach they shechted so much that was also.
Yeah, I don't remember. So if we didn't get there yet, but I don't remember. Maybe you're right.
That's the thing, Samach Dalid.
Yeah? Okay. So I don't remember, but I remember it being in Zvachim, but maybe you're probably right. Seemed to be on your game today. So there's an inyan to really be like knee deep in the blood of the kachim. So that was, but when it comes to chulin, there's no need to, when it comes to shechting a chulin animal, there's no inyan to get dirty. So, of course, as long as it doesn't get in the way of shechting it, one can wear it. So the Achorim point out there are other places where you find the idea of chatzitza is a problem. One is they point out when the Sheikh Sibra holds the Sefer Torah, he shouldn't have gloves on his hand, he should hold it directly. Even though there's a cover on the Sefer Torah, that's for the shmir of the Sefer Torah, but there shouldn't be gloves in your hand. A person, the Bach points out, shouldn't wear gloves when he's davening, wearing tefillin, come up with a number of places. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, the Pesach Yeshua says, do not wear gloves when writing a Sefer Torah. So you find other places where chatzitza is problematic.
Is it a chiyuv for... see by Ashkenazim that when they have hagba, that they unravel the hand and just put it on their wrist. Is that a chiv?
So I don't think it's a chiv. I think it's either for practical reasons, so you shouldn't drop it, chas v'shalom. You know, that thing in the middle gets in the way, you don't get a good hold of it.
Right. It's not a bizayon to tefillin or anything, is it?
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing anything on this. I don't think it's a bizayon. It could be an issue of chatzitza. Maybe that might be the point. There is some idea.
That hagba should be with my hands.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. There's a halacha of the achiza holding on to the Eitz Chaim. They talk about this. Might be that. Maybe that's the Indian.
Oh, that's
that must be what it is, right?
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I think so. I think. Okay. So says the Gemara now further. We did two of the tzavachos that the Azara called out. Now the third one is the old tzavacha Hazara. The third thing is Su Shar Mashechem, open your gates. V'chanes Yishmal Ben Piachi Tamidol Shapinchas V'yishamish Bekuna Gadol. Allow this individual, this great individual, Yishmal Ben Piachi, who happens to be a student of Pinchas, to come be the Kohen Gadol. That's the third thing that it said. And Rashi just pointed out he was a kosher Hayoy. Obviously, he was very kosher. The Azara really welcomed him inside. The old tzavacha, the fourth one, the Azara said was Su Rashechem V'yichanes Yochanan Ben Nervoy Tamidol Shapinchai. Also allow him to enter to be the Kohen Gadol. The Amalek Kriso Mikatshe Shemaim, let him fill his stomach up with all the karbanos. So Amar Lav, it was said about Al Yochanan ben Nervai, Shaya Ochel Gimel Meos Agalim. He ate 300 cows or calves. Vishosa Gimel Meos Garva Yain, 300 some measurement of wine. It's a lot of wine. V'ochar Bam Seah Gozos and 40 Seah of small little birds. Bikinuach Suda for like dessert base to wipe up his the end of the meal. So he clearly ate a lot of food. So Amru Kol Yamav Shel Yochanan Ben Nervai, his entire lifetime, Lo Nimsa Nosa B'Mikdash, there was never a problem of any leftover food because he took care of the leftovers. So these are the four tzavachos that the Azara had screamed out. Now, my Sakabei Yisachar Ishkvar. What happened? What was the result of Yisachar Ishkvar Brakai, who covered his hands in the gloves, who didn't do the avoda with his hands directly? And this is what you were mentioning, that he says that Amri Malka Machasa Havayosvet, the king and queen were sitting down. Malk Amar Gidiyai, the king said, you know, the Gidi is better, it's the best type of animal out there. Umachas Amar Imri, I know the Imra is better than the Gidi. They're having a little debate, which animal was better. So, in terms of, Rashi says, Gidi Tov L'Maychel Yosem Rekevis. In terms of eating food, which meat was a better meat? So Amru Man Muchach, who's going to tell us what the answer is, which one's better? Kohen Gadol, the Kamasik Karbanos, Koyoma, the Kohen Gadol, every single day is bringing Karbanos, he's going to know the answer. Let's summon the Kohen Gadol, who at the time was Yisach Ishkvar Brakai, Asa Ihu, so he came, and Achai Biyadei, he showed with his hands, and Rashi points out, Blushin Tzachuk, he was kind of making fun of them. I Gidiyai, Yasik Letmido, how do you think a Gidi is good for the best food? If the Gidi was the best, they would have brought it with as a carbon tamid. But we know that Kavis is brought for the tamid, so the Kavis is better, not the Gidi. So they saw that he was making fun of him. So Amr Malka, the king says, Ho Velo Havale E Masa de Mahusa, since you have no fear for the king and queen, Nifsok Yamina, so you should cut off your right hand, right fingers, I think. So says the Gemara, Yav Shochad. So he bribed, he paid off the guy, the messenger who's responsible, who's going to cut off his hand. Upaskal Esmala said, please take some money, let me keep my right hand, because I'm a righty, cut my left fingers off. Shama Malka. So the king heard that they had his left hand cut off, not the right hand. He said, no, I said the right hand. So Upaskal Amino, so cut his right hand off. So he lost both his both hands, both fingers, all 10 fingers. Some Rav Yosef said, Baruch Rachmana da Ashkele Yisach Ishkvar Brakai L'mitshifase Mine Bahai Alma. So it said, praiseworthy, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he took his, he lost, all, he got all his punishment in this world so he could get paid back in the world to come. Amar Rav Ashi, Yisach Ishkvar Brakai Lo Tanam Asnisen. He did not learn Mishnayos. Had he learned Mishnayos, he would have known the following halacha. The halacha says, the Tanan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kvasim Kod Mila Yizim, Bechol Makom. So we see that kvasim are better. So it's a mefurshim mishnah, they're better. So why do you have to like show, if we bring this raya from the Talmud, it's a mefurshim mishnah. Yachum ibnashim muvachim bimina. Maybe because they're better in terms of the min. Tamalomar in kevis yavi karbano mlamin sheshneim shkulim keachad. So you would think that the reason why the kevis has to come before is because they're better. Not true. They're really the same. They really are equal, rather. And the only reason why they come forward is a special Kedesh Kosov, is the reason why we use that for the Talmud. But Lemaisa, they really are both equal. Im, because it's an Im Kevesh Yavi. If you want to bring the Kevesh, then you can bring it, but not that you have to bring it first. And then the Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Afilu Mikra Nami Lokra. He didn't even read Psukim. Dichsev Im Kevesh Im Eiz. It says either one. Ibai Kevesh Laisi, Ibai Eiz Laisi. You could bring either one. So Gidi wasn't, sorry, the Kevesh wasn't necessarily better because it's brought to the Karban Talmud. They are both equal, and he therefore gave the wrong answer. He clearly wasn't learning in Mishnayos. He wasn't learning in Mikra. And we finish the parak now. Hajjan alach makum shenagu v'slika alach pesach rishon. The reason why slika pesach rishon, at one point they had two different masechtas. That pesach rishon was, which was up until now, and the second half is going to be considered pesach sheni, I guess. But the second half, not pesach sheni in the way we know it, but the second half of masechtas pesachim. So I know it's early, but it's a very small daf, so we will stop here.
That's great.
And